The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Congratulations, everybody. We all did it together. We made it to Friday. How we all doing? We're here together for the next 4.5 hours. A lot to discuss, including the NFL officials doing it again last night. Aaron Boone is officially back. And the New York Giants get set to play a very, very, very important game in Germany against the Carolina Panthers. But let me start with this about the New York Football Jets, who have not played a game in what feels like 6 months. To put in perspective how long ago it was since the New York Jets played a football game, it was October.
Yep.
We weren't sure who the next president was going to be. And the Yankees just got eliminated in the World Series. Not only do the Jets have to win this game, that's obvious, but what I need to see, the number one thing that I need, that I demand, that I want, that we all need as Jet fans, that we have not seen yet, Tiki, is we need a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance.
By that you mean offensive explosion.
Yes.
By that you mean if we have to, and you might have to, outscore the opponent.
Yes.
Because who knows what Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. gonna, like, what this offense can do. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They can be explosive. There are times where they're small as well, where they don't do much. But you just never know. And there's a point at some point where Aaron Rodgers has to be the Aaron Rodgers that used to be able to score 35.
Yes.
That's the Aaron Rodgers that you need this week. I get that.
Yes.
And by the way, we've been waiting for that for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're starting to see little inklings of it, especially with some of these big plays that we saw last week. And if they get man coverage, you know what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to look at one of those dudes, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams. Just go. Just go. Run down there. I'll throw it to you. It almost becomes backyard football-ish, and it's what made Aaron Rodgers so explosive for so many years. We need to see that.
We need Aaron to Rodgers. See it. Because, Tiki, we haven't seen it yet. Like, look, Aaron Rodgers last week on Thursday, Halloween against the Texans, threw 3 touchdown passes. That's fine. That's fantastic. Aaron Rodgers' overall stats this year aren't even pathetic. They're not Aaron Rodgers, but they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
What we have not seen from this Jet offense, and I am begging it, but more than that, I'm demanding it, is score 30 points. Score 35 points. Like, we'll get into the other deficiencies that this Jet defense has that will be tested against a very tough Arizona offensive line and a run game that's been tough to stop and a mobile quarterback where the Jets have had issues slowing down mobile quarterbacks. I get all that. And I know that the Jet defense called themselves the 85 Bears last year, and we all had high expectations for them. And while I still have expectations for them, I'm putting them aside for a second.
All right.
I need to see this quarterback, who's making a lot of money this year, who has the Hall of Fame resume, I need to see it once.
Yeah.
And I need to see it Sunday. This team, Tiki, has not scored 30 points in a game.
Yeah.
This team needs to do that.
It's really interesting how, in a very short amount of time, this Jets team became one of the best defenses in the NFL. And that's how they were going to, that was going to be their calling card. If Aaron Rodgers at getting close to 40 was going to be just somewhat of a shell of who we expected him to be. The defense was going to carry them. To now, it's, all right, the defense sometimes gets gashed, and we need Aaron Rodgers to be 28, 29-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know if we're going to get that, but I would like to see it at least once because it gives you hope that it's there.
Well, but here's the key, Tiki. I'm talking about one game. Now, I understand as Jet fans, there's this thought of, well, the Bengals lost last night. Take a look at the rest of the AFC. It's right there for the Jets to make the playoffs. And while that all may be true, I'm focused on one game. And in this particular game against this particular opponent in this particular stadium, that's where I need to see it. I'm not telling you Aaron Rodgers needs to be COVID MVP Aaron Rodgers over the final stretch of the season. That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm demanding. Nor is it something I expect, nor is it something I even necessarily need. In this particular game, where I think they're going to have a very difficult time stopping the Arizona run, James Conner is a pain in the ass to tackle. If you're stopping him early, bringing him down on the fourth quarter is going to be a load, especially for a team that hasn't exactly been the greatest tackling team this year. So I kind of expect that this is going to be one of those games where they aren't going to resemble the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
I need offense. And I'm not asking for it every week. I'm asking for it once because this is an offense. And here are the numbers. Here are the facts. They've scored 19 points per game. 19. That's unacceptable. The most points they've scored in the game was 24. That's unacceptable. There needs to be a game. There needs to be a moment. There needs to be a day. I say it Sunday where they show you what they're capable of. And I'll tell you what, why this inspired me. What caused me to wake up this morning and say, it's about the freaking quarterback. You want to know what,
it's
what
always,
it was?
It's always been about the quarterback.
But more so than any other week.
Go ahead.
Last night. I sat there and I watched in the fourth quarter. You want to call it crappy defense? Call it crappy defense. I saw offense. I saw execution. I saw quarterback play. I saw two teams basically go up and down the field, up and down the field. And basically, it was who has the ball last, and that's who's going to win.
Right. He saw a sexy jump pass, too, by Lamar Jackson.
That was very sexy.
Was
that
like,
turned
wow,
me on.
Look at that.
That's for sure.
1950 football.
Yes. That's what you have to do sometimes. It doesn't mean you have to do it every week. It doesn't mean I'm expecting them to do it against Indianapolis in 2 weeks or Miami in 3 weeks or the Buffalo game in late December. I'm talking about this week. I know that this offense has it in them, and I really deep down think the quarterback has it in him. He just needs to show it this one time.
You think that he has it in him. That's the thing. I think the reason why it's necessary to show it is because you don't know what kind of game you're going to get. It could be your defense could be all over an opposing offense, or your defense could just be having a bad day, or the offensive coordinator on the other team just schemed it up so well, he just find ways to take advantage of whatever vulnerabilities the Jets D may have, and then it becomes incumbent to go score. And it feels like for the last 2-3 years with the New York Jets, that ability to turn that switch up, like to crank it up, just hasn't been there.
Yeah.
And so much of that is always, I mean, it's on the playmakers, but the quarterback's got to be the one that gets them the ball in positions that make them have the advantage and to be able to, you know, be explosive and to be dynamic and to do make the plays happen that show up on SportsCenter, et cetera, et cetera. But so much of that, to me, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if he has it.
I think
he does because I saw it at points.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if it's consistent enough.
I don't think it's consistent. See, that's the thing. I think it's two different kind of equations here. And I've said this before about the great player at the end of their career coming to New York where sometimes they show you flashes even if they don't show it to you consistently. And I think Aaron Rodgers is still capable of giving you that flash. Now, so far, the only flashes we've seen from Aaron is more on specific drives or in really small snapshots. We haven't had that game yet.
Yeah.
We haven't had that vintage Aaron Rodgers game. And because we've seen it in drives and in moments, it makes me think, well, we can see it over the course
of course,
60 minutes.
But I see him wanting to do it. I think that's the difference for me. I see him wanting to get back on a quick set and just let the ball go, bad mechanics and everything else, but he can get it there and hit a back shoulder throw or hit a fade or something over the top of a defender. He's just not expecting it, and the ball is on his on the receiver and in his hands before you even know what happened to you. Like that Aaron Rodgers, we haven't seen. I see him trying to do it, but it's not quite clicking yet. Now, some of this is just, he had an Achilles injury.
I get it.
He's 40 years old.
I get it.
He's not as physically mobile as he used to be. And so there's always going to be that, well, man, if he just had an extra oomph of extra step, an extra whatever, those things would be showing up. But the reality is he might not ever get that back.
He might not.
And so he's got to manufacture it in a different way. And that's play calling. That's what you know, Todd Downing is preparing. It's the relationship with his wide receivers, which seem to be, you know, ramping up over the last couple of weeks. But I know what you're saying, and I know that this Jet team needs it. I just don't trust that it's always going to be there.
Here's the problem. If it doesn't happen this week, unfortunately, this season may be over before we ever get to Thanksgiving.
Because this is must win.
This is must win, and I kind of feel like if they're going to beat the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona, that's what they're going to need. They need Aaron Rodgers to give you that one vintage performance. And I hate to bring this up, but it's in my brain. I think it's in all of our Jet fans' brains. And if you haven't thought about it yet, I'm going to kind of bring it up to you, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I don't like to bring up this man's name, but I'm going to say it. Do you remember a quarterback named Brett Favre? Brett Favre had 1 year here.
Yep.
And we all know what happened here. He sent pictures of his stuff to a cheerleader. He was a disgusting human being. But he also gave you flashes, right? They were flashes of the old Brett Favre. They got off to an 8-3 start. He was banged up. They choked at the end of the season. He wasn't healthy. They missed the playoffs. But there were moments. And do you guys remember his best moment? Do you guys remember when Brett Favre was Brett Favre? I'll never forget it because it was the same day they closed Shea Stadium and the Mets season ended. It was a wild day for Mets fans. The Mets are closing Shea. They're losing to the Marlins.
Mets fans, I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. And Brett Favre threw not one, not two, not three, not four,
okay, LeBron
not
James.
Five.
Okay, Dwayne Wade.
Brett Favre threw six touchdown passes against the Arizona Cardinals, and they won that game something like 56-35.
Something like, you nailed it.
Something like that. Yeah, am I 100% accurate?
100% that was the score.
Look, as much
what
as...
What was it?
56-35.
What the hell?
He threw six touchdown passes. You think I'm making this up?
I'm not even talking about that. How the hell you scored 91 points in an NFL game?
Oh, it was nuts. It was nuts.
What?
In fact, I think the Jets scored like 30 in the second quarter. Like, it was a very odd, weird... It was a weird day.
Tiki, I'll give you a little guess here. How many passing yards did Brett Favre throw for in that game?
410?
Okay, Evan, you got a guess?
No, it wasn't that high. It was like 310 or something.
289.
Get out of here.
He scored 56 points, and he threw for less than 300 yards.
Are you kidding?
But you know what? Here's all that matters, and this is the same with Aaron Rodgers. All that matters is how many points you score.
Mm.
Like, Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdown passes last week. Great. They scored 21 points, 24 points, whatever it was. Like, we need to see a 30-point game. Aaron said it himself. He said it the last few weeks. We're capable of scoring 30 a game. Well, it's about time. Like, there are going to be games if the Jets are going to go on this magical run and somehow get to 10 wins or even 9 wins where their offense is going to have to carry them. Well, you've had a few weeks of getting to know Devontae Adams again. Garrett Wilson is breaking out. He's up there amongst all the league leaders in every receiving stat. Breece Hall even looks better. The offense feels like it's flowing at a better level than a few weeks ago. You mentioned the quarterback. The quarterback looks healthier. Maybe it's the cayenne pepper he's taken from Thomas Morstead. So things are trending in the right direction, but it's needed and it's necessary. The question is it going to happen? Can Aaron Rodgers give us the Brett Favre-ian comeback, classic, legendary performance that we all need? Look, this is a week-to-week lead. I'm not thinking about Indianapolis. I'm not thinking about Miami. I'm thinking about this week. And to win this game this week, in this situation, in this stadium, against that opponent, I'm banging the table so hard football helmets are falling, they need to get that vintage offensive performance from this quarterback.
His vintage, not Jet vintage, because the Jets haven't had this.
Jets, we don't know what vintage is. It's watching other teams score points.
Right. I'm trying to think of the last time the Jets did have this.
Like a vintage offensive performance?
Well, they just had the ability to score 40 points or 50 points. Is it the Fitzpatrick year?
Well, the last time they got to 30, they got there three times last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback. Three times in 2023, and it was in the low 30s, and they weren't like dominant offensive performances. You got to go back to a game against the Miami Dolphins in October of 2022, in which they put up 40 points that day. Mm. And Zach Wilson didn't even throw for any touchdowns. They actually rushed for five touchdowns that day. Michael Carter had two. Brees Hall had two. But I don't know if you even want to call that like a vintage offensive performance.
That's not what we're talking about.
No.
Because that's just being outclassing the opponent because they're not very good at that moment. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers being a 300-yard passer, which he has yet to do, by the way. He hasn't done it in a while, to be honest with you.
You got
to
go back to his third-to-last game as a Green Bay Packer for the last time he threw for 300-plus yards.
Exactly right. It was a while ago now at this point. So it's not who he is, but it's what it feels like this Jet team will need. Now, maybe they do get turnover Kyler Murray, even though he's not really turning the ball over a ton today, this year. Maybe they do rush for 210 yards, which would be nice.
Sure.
It would be able to run up the score without having to rely on Aaron Rodgers getting it done. But I think Aaron, for himself, also needs this. Like, there's got to be a self, not doubt, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers will ever, ever doubt himself about anything. But when you haven't done something, when you haven't had that vintage performance as you're talking about in a long time, it just feels good to do it.
Yeah.
And so it'd be good for Aaron Rodgers, which would make it great for the Jets.
They need this. In my opinion, Aaron needs a lot. We as fans need it more. Let me tell you right now. We need it more than even Aaron Rodgers. But that's, to me, how the Jets beat the Arizona Cardinals. So to my fellow Jet fans, as we begin what may be an incredible postseason drive, or it may be an incredible tease, or it may just be us falling flat on our faces, and by Thanksgiving realizing this team is going nowhere, can Aaron Rodgers give us that vintage offensive performance? Do you have the hope and expectations that Aaron Rodgers, at least one time, can give us what we dreamt about when the Jets traded for him a year and a half ago? The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We'll get to what happened last night in football. The referees making a major, major impact at the end of the Bengals-Ravens game. Plus, to my fellow Jet fans, and I put this poll out a couple of hours ago on social media, I'm very curious to check out the results. Where's your confidence level in this team that they can begin a playoff push after what they did a week ago by beating the Houston Texans? We'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. We'll touch on Aaron Boone's return coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Giants, Panthers, will make our NFL picks. A very, very busy Friday here on the Fan. When the Mets seemed buried and they were dysfunctional and then they started to win some games, I would poll people on social media. I'd say, will the Mets make the playoffs? Right? And that poll remained very steady, even as they played well. 60% no, 65% no, kind of in that range. And it never flipped. That arrow never flipped until really they made the playoffs. I mean, it was the final homestand that they played.
I mean, they were a couple of games away in basically a play-in tournament from not making the playoffs.
No, they were very close because they struggled on the road. But I think when Lindor got hurt and they won those games at home, especially the Philly series, like that was the only time the pendulum ever got to, hey, I think they're going to make the playoffs. And then obviously they did. But for the most part, you watched it fluctuate, but it was always, no, they're not making the playoffs. But the fluctuation was, no way, no how, 75%. Then it would get to 70%. Then it would be in the 60s. It slowly, slowly moved. And then obviously the Mets, OMG, and you'll get to hear Candelita and Jose Iglesias at Boomer and Geo Live, which is very cool, coming up in a few weeks. Buy tickets now. They finally made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to myself, especially after last night, where if you're a Jet fan, you're watching last night's football game, and you obviously have a rooting interest, if it's not just fantasy or gambling, you want the Ravens to win just because you look at the kind of landscape of the AFC and you know that that would benefit the Jets. Great game. We'll get into it in a few minutes. Bengals lose and it gets you a little bit closer to the dream. A little bit closer to the dream. Then you look around the AFC and you're like, well, you know, the Colts kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos kind of suck. You look at their schedules and you can see how the Jets can make it. The problem is the Jets have to win games. Now, as a Jet fan, do I believe the Jets are going to go out and win 6 out of their last 8 games or 7 out of their last 8 games? Probably not. So my science experiment was, right now at 3-6, will the Jets make the playoffs? Let me put the poll up and just see how negative it truly is. So I gave 3 options, Tiki. Yes, they're going to make the playoffs. Not even close. And they'll tease us, but fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I admit, I am probably in the they're going to tease us, but fall short
which
category.
I think is probably most people.
Is that where you're at?
That's
where are you at?
Well, I look at the playoff picture right now, and Cincinnati just lost, as you just mentioned. And Indy's interesting.
But like, you know Indy better than anybody. Exactly, you broadcast them every week.
This will be my fourth game of them this year, and then I have them next week as well.
Right.
So I'll call 6 of their 17 games this year. But if like they're good, but they're not.
Right.
Type of thing. Which is kind of exactly where the Jets are. Like, they're good, but they're not. Because, I mean, they're good, but their record tells you you're not. They're not.
I would say they're not good, but they are. I do it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Like, I guess not good.
Either way, you're parsing words either way. Yeah. Either way, one way or another. It could flip depending on the weekend and how they play. But so I look at the teams that they're competing with, and the Chargers have a great defense. The Denver Broncos also have a great defense. And sometimes defense will sneak you in.
Mm.
And so I think the advantage, and while the Jets, in theory, have a great defense, is it really? So
I haven't played that way.
Yeah, so I almost feel like I'm more trending towards no, as opposed to they'll tease us.
The only reason...
Simply because of where the other teams are.
But you know what? It's funny. The reason I think they're going to tease us is, let's take the Chargers as a great example. So their schedule after they play Tennessee is they play the Bengals, the Ravens, Atlanta, Kansas City. Like, that's a tough schedule. So I almost think the tease is going to come from the fact that the bottom of the AFC is so crappy that they're always going to be within striking distance. But here are your results. The first time we do this, which is at 3-6 on a Friday going into a game against the Arizona Cardinals, 12% say they will make the playoffs. 12%!
Wow. They need some positive Tom.
Yeah, they do.
Weed is legal.
44% say it won't be close, and 44% say tease but fall short. So the real split is between if they're going to tease us or not. But add it together, because that's all that matters, 88% of people believe the New York Jets will miss the playoffs, which I understand why that would be the majority, but that's how low. That's how incredibly low we are as Jet fans.
But you're also 3-6.
No, I get it. But we're also in the bottom of the AFC that sucks. Indianapolis flawed. Denver flawed. We talked about the Chargers schedule. Like, they are no longer in a position where they have to run the table. Like, I don't think they have to run the table. I think they've got to win 7 of 8, maybe 6 of 8. That would probably get them in. But the point is, we still don't believe in them yet. They need to do a little bit more to kind of earn our belief.
Yeah.
And one of those things is getting a vintage offensive performance against the Cardinals.
I mean, to be honest with you, or just winning. Like, I think a win will suffice for now, for if you're the Jet.
Well, yes, a win will suffice.
It's like, it's just stay alive. Stay alive.
9-6, you duck out of there.
Right, exactly. Stay alive until we get really good. But, until we can take those next steps. Until Aaron Rodgers feels more like healthy, vintage Aaron Rodgers. Like, until that happens, just win.
No, I agree, just win. But in order to kind of gain the confidence that they can actually pull this off, that confidence won't be gained with just a win.
No, you're right.
It would need win plus. Now, I'm with you. Just get a win. Like, all I want to do at 7:30 at night when it's pitch black outside Sunday night is, like, say, hey, we want a football game. This feels really good. Because do you know how many Sundays I've had to say, yay, my football team won a game?
Not many.
Once this entire season. Because the other two wins came on Thursday nights.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
In which I'm just so pissed tired. It's like, I'm just going to go to sleep, and I'm happy we won. They've only had one Sunday victory. And that Sunday victory was the one against the Titans, in which it almost felt like you robbed the bank getting that victory.
It's true.
I just want a W, but in order for that number to change, for it not to be 88%, they won't make the playoffs. They not only need to win, they need to show us how this team can be special over the next 8 weeks.
If the Jets win on Sunday, in my prediction here, that poll, yes, will go to 50%.
No way.
Because the tease but fall short are your swing states. Those are people that they don't want to commit to any side here yet. And think about it. You brought up the Mets. A lot of Met fans didn't believe the team would make the playoffs. That's different with the Jet fan. They thought this team would make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So they just need that little crack in the door. And once it's open, they're going to come storming through.
It won't get to 50, though. Like,
why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's 50%.
If they win, I think it jumps a little bit.
I think they have to win too. I think they have to beat Arizona, beat the Colts at home, and then into the bye week. They're a game under 500.
I agree. I think if you win the next two games and you're sitting there at 4-6, especially with that bye week.
5-6.
Where you sit there and you get fat and you watch everybody else and you point out how everybody else stinks. Your confidence level moves up just a tad.
Yep.
So that's where I think people will start to believe. But I think the main reason, and it's part of the reason why I'm there, in that swing state category that you described, Loogie, of they'll tease you but fall short, is because that's who the Jets are. That's what the Jets do to us. Like, if you're a Jet fan, if you're a veteran of Jet fan-ness, you know that they don't like to just make you lose. They like to stick it down you, you know what. They like to make it painful. And in a year in which they better make the playoffs, I mean, that is the expectation. The expectation is they better make the playoffs. Not they should make the playoffs or I'd like to make the playoffs. They better make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The futures of everybody ride on this. In a year in which they better make the playoffs, getting hot and going on a cute run would not be enough. Like, they need to make the postseason. And you're right, it's very different than the Mets because the Mets had that little engine that could feel to them.
Yeah,
this is not a little engine that could. This is a, you better find a way to make this work.
Yeah, it always goes back to the expectation. Like, when you think about who wins coaches of the year are mostly, I'm not saying this is always the case, but it's mostly the coach that far exceeds the preseason expectation.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's why Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year in 2022, because nobody thought the Giants were winning 9 games. People thought they were winning 3 to 5, maybe. And he won 9 and won a playoff game. So he was the Coach of the Year. It's completely opposite for the New York Jets. The expectation is if you don't make the playoffs, then everybody's fired.
Like, right.
Think about that. I mean, it's a different kind of pressure. Actually, there's no pressure when you're not expected and you actually start to play well and you end up making the playoffs. There's no pressure. Like, it's why you can play free. You can, all right, who cares? Whereas if you're a team that has all of this expectation like the Jets did and kind of still do despite being 3-6.
They still do.
Right? It's just, it's hard. Like, every play means something.
Oh,
every game means something as towards the evaluation of who you are. And so, like, this is where, I mean, they need Aaron Rodgers to not just be a great player, but he also has to be a great leader.
Yeah.
Like, we need him to channel that Aaron Rodgers that was the relaxed Aaron Rodgers. Remember him out in Green Bay?
Yeah.
That's who they need.
Well, they need the Aaron Rodgers at times in big moments to say, get on my back, I will make the play that will win us the football game. That didn't happen against the New England Patriots. That didn't happen against the Buffalo Bills. That didn't happen against the Minnesota Vikings.
Nope.
That didn't happen against the Denver Broncos. It didn't happen. Like, the Jets have been very close to winning a lot of these games, but you could pin it down sometimes to a play here and there on why they didn't, and I need this quarterback to not be the reason they don't. And that's why when you look at this game, and really the rest of these games, they need him to be that guy. They need him to be the guy that you expected when you bring in a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's what they need. And usually, when you get an aging veteran, they'll give you flashes.
Yes.
They give you the flashes. The only flashes, like I said, we've gotten from Aaron Rodgers is on a drive here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened over a complete game. They need that over a complete game, and then the belief will start to go up. But do not think for a second that being 3-6 or before that 2-6 changed the expectations we have as Jet fans. It is still a playoff or bust season.
No doubt.
That doesn't change just because they got off to a dreadful start.
No doubt.
People will lose their jobs if they don't make the postseason. Season tickets will be canceled if they don't make the postseason.
You're not canceling your
season. I'm not talking about myself. Talking in general. By the way, they don't even let you do that because you've got to re-up on your season tickets next week, which is ridiculous, by the way.
So you know that? So you re-upped already?
I haven't done anything. Why should I let them know? I'm going to take my damn time.
Oh, are we leaning one and done here, Ev?
You want to have a private conversation? Between us, all three of us, like no one?
We're not on SMY yet. Two blinks for done.
I'm going to re-up.
Oh.
But I want them to sweat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say yes right away. I don't want them to think I'm easy. So I want to let it kind of let it marinate. And then right at midnight before that season ticket deadline, I'll give him my credit card. You know what I mean?
I like it.
And I'm an idiot because the truth is I should just cancel. Like, what are we...
Why
are you going to just cancel?
Because... A, they raised prices.
Right.
B, I like going to primetime games. They're going to get no primetime games next year when Daniel Jones is my freaking quarterback.
Hey, you keep his name out of your mouth.
Right.
So
he might be better for you.
And they already flexed out the Jet-Colt game, which I can't even go to now because it's at 1 o'clock.
Sure
I was going at 8 o'clock. No, I can't, Sean.
Why?
See, because my wife and my family like me around, even on football Sundays when I watch the games, like I'm around, to leave the house between 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock at night on a Sunday may go well in the Morash household, won't go well in the Roberts household. For all the games I go to, they're weeknight games.
But, Evan, think about
how
much money you must have made selling all these other Jet tickets on the open market. You could just buy the other, bring the whole family
See,
that
now,
game.
Now you're being a jerk, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough soap in the world for the bath you've taken this year.
All I've got to say about that is thank God for the Knicks. I'll leave it at that. Paul's in Kansas City. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, man. Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk a little Jets real quick. Been a Jets fan a long time. And moved out to Kansas City about 12 years ago. Watched the Jets at Arrowhead about, oh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. All we got then was a Nick Folk field goal. Put up 3 points. Just embarrassing. And then, you know, I just wanted to say I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you touching on them. Maybe putting up 30 points at some point this season. Because the Jets fan base, I think we're really looking for this. And we really do need to at least try to make a run for the playoffs.
Well, A, we need to go on a run for the playoffs, but your point is, and this is what made last night so difficult to watch and made me so jealous, I want to watch offense. Mm. And it's funny that I say that, Tiki, because believe it or not, I am a fan of defensive football more than I am of offensive football. Like, I love that Steeler-Raven rivalry from the mid-2000s. Like, I love that crap. I love hard-hitting.
Right, you black know, and blue.
Oh, bone rattling, hard tackle, hit the freaking quarterback kind of football. That's who I am. The problem is, I have been so deprived, we have been so deprived, from watching competent offensive football for so long that I'm desperate to watch what I saw last night in the fourth quarter happen with my team. Because this is a Jet offense that year after year after year is not just a bad offense, but they're the worst offense. In 2019, they were 31st in points. In 2020, they were 32nd in points. In 2021, they were 28th in points. In 2022, they were 29th in points.
Wow.
Last year, they were 29th in points. This season, with Aaron Rodgers, they're 25th in points. Like, what? Like, are you kidding me?
It's hard to even fathom that.
Like
for that long, you just can't score.
And that's not.
And it's different regimes,
different quarterbacks,
different skill positions. It's everything.
It's everything. So I am desperate, especially when you see Joe Burrow and you see Lamar Jackson and you see Jamar Chase get in the end zone 3 times and you see the back and forth nature of that game last night. I'm desperate, even if it's only 1 game against the Arizona Cardinals, to see my team do that. And all you need to know. To know how pathetic, not just the recent history, but the overall history is of the New York Jets scoring points, is that Aaron Rodgers has a chance to go down in the record books for touchdown passes by a Jet quarterback this year. Mm. And he's not even having a vintage season.
Yeah.
Because this is such a putrid offense in their history and really their recent history. So you watch Burrow and Lamar go back and forth last night, and you have to just look at that and say, is that what I get to watch on Sundays?
No.
Because it's not even the same sport.
No, it's not. You don't have the dynamic quarterback. I mean, Joe Burrow threw for almost 500 yards. It was ridiculous. Their run game was non-existent, and it's probably why they were able to, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, despite trailing for a good portion of this game, were able to find their way back in it.
Right.
When you don't run the ball, you're giving the other team possessions.
Yeah.
And so, like, just because they were great offensively doesn't mean they were good enough to beat a really good Baltimore Ravens team. But this Ravens were, I mean, they're just, Lamar is spectacular.
He is. He's incredible. And I watched this and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Think about this. Just real quick. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 15 touchdown passes this year.
Yes.
His touchdown percentage is one of the lowest he's ever had in his NFL career. He's having a very average season, below average season for Aaron Rodgers, but through 9 games, he's thrown 15 touchdown passes, okay? And I think we'd all agree, not a great season. Is that a fair kind of critique of Aaron Rodgers?
100%.
The all-time record for touchdown passes by a New York Jet quarterback is 31 by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Aaron Rodgers has a legitimate chance to break that record. This is a franchise that's been around for a long time, for over 60 years. One quarterback ever has thrown 30 touchdown passes or more. His name is Ryan Fitzpatrick. You saw him last night with his dopey beard, his dopey outfit on Amazon Prime.
Why are you crushing Ryan?
Because he happens to be the leader all time in quarterback touchdown passes.
That was a good season for the Jets.
Was it, though? They missed the playoffs.
Also, his dopey outfit, you wear stained sweatshirts constantly.
I understand, but the beard kind of brings out more, I think, to make it look weird.
And what did yours look like for the better part of 2024?
I looked better than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, you didn't.
If I had a beard off between me and Fitz, you think Fitzy would win?
Yeah.
Why? I had a good-looking beard.
Evan, look, there were moments that beard came in. You said Evan Roberts looks good. Ryan Fitzpatrick has never looked bad with that beard.
You know what it comes down to? It comes down to the fact I'm bitter that the guy with the most touchdown passes in the history of the New York Jets is Ryan Fitzpatrick in a year in which they didn't even make the playoffs.
A guy from Harvard.
Right. Aaron Rodgers could break the all-time record for touchdown passes by a New York Jet in a season. That's on the table. That's depressing considering he has not had a great year and they're 3-6. That's my issue. That's the part that I get, like, kind of crazy by. By the way, you want to hear the rest of this list? It's so pathetic. Number 2 is Vinny in 98-29, and that was a great year, so no mocking there.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Mark Sanchez.
How many?
26 in 2011. Oh. Then it's Joe Namath, 26 in 1967. Like, that's the history that we're talking about. By the way, Brett Favre in 2008, and we talked about his 6-touchdown game he had against Arizona early in that 08 season.
Yeah.
Ended up only throwing 22 touchdown passes that year. Aaron Rodgers should shatter that.
How many plays did he play?
He played every game.
How many games did he play?
He played every game.
Did he?
Brett did not. No, that was part of the problem. Part of the problem with Brett Favre that year is that he was hurt and he played through it.
Oh, that's right. He devolved
as the season went on. That was the real issue with Brett Favre. Like, he was not good at the end of the season. Like, in the final 5 games they played, he threw 9 interceptions to 2 touchdown passes. So he just completely collapsed at the latter part of the season, and they finished 9-7. By the way, collapsed to 9-7. For the Jets, it'd be a celebration to get to 9-8. Chris in Bayshore, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, listen, I'm not a Jet fan. I just listen to Evan. You know, I love you and all, but, you know, I think when you talk about Rodgers, you're talking about a name and you're talking about a legacy. I mean, you watch the games, he's not the Aaron Rodgers that all Jet fans are hoping he's going to be. And I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but you just got to watch the games to know that it's not just watching Aaron Rodgers.
So watching the games, here's what I would tell you, Chris. Of course, it's not all Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying to win a particular football game, sometimes you need your quarterback to play like a superstar, like we've seen Lamar Jackson do. I'm asking in one game for Aaron to play at that level, not the rest of the entire season. That's number one. Number two, here's where I disagree with you. He has shown flashes of the old Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't done it for a complete game, no question, but there have been moments in which you say, I see it in him. So can he, for 60 minutes against an average defensive Arizona Cardinal team, give you that one vintage performance? I'm naive enough or maybe hopeful enough to say he's got one left in him.
Well, I think he needs more than one. That's
I'm talking about just this week, though.
He needs to show it. You need to see it. There needs to be a fear that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. And until you see that, there's always going to be doubt. And I think, more importantly, there was a point where Aaron Rodgers would... Like, you feared playing the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
You feared him because you just didn't know what he was going to do. And when you have a quarterback, Lamar is this way in a sense, and it's different than Aaron because he's not necessarily, Lamar is throwing for 400 yards a game and five touchdowns, even though he did throw for four touchdowns last night. But it's just a fear in Lamar. It's like, I don't know what he's going to do. Aaron used to be that way.
He doesn't have it now.
He doesn't have that anymore.
The hope is he can find one more.
Well, the reason he needs to is because if he does it, then everybody starts saying, oh crap, now this guy is back.
Right.
Like, that's when it comes. That's when, like, you start to beat your opponent before you even get to your opponent.
No question. Now, last night, if you watched Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson go at it, you also saw Zach Taylor make an interesting decision to go for two after the Bengals scored a touchdown with about 38 seconds to go. I don't know about you. I completely agreed with it.
Yeah.
It's going for the win and not allowing that game to come down to a coin toss.
Well,
because
yeah.
the way the offenses were playing, my eyes told me, if you don't go for two and you kick the extra point, you're allowing a coin to potentially determine if you win or lose. I'd rather have my offense determine if I win or lose on a play, one play to determine it all, as opposed to a coin. And that's why, even though it didn't work, more on why it didn't work in a few seconds, I completely agree with Zach Taylor's decision to go for two.
Well, you had to, because even with 30-something seconds left, here's what happened in the second half. The Baltimore Ravens got forced to punt on their first possession. They scored a touchdown on every subsequent one.
Yes.
And so you're saying, even there's only 38 seconds, I don't trust my defense to stop them again.
I also don't trust, if I lose the coin toss, that I'm ever going to see the football
again.
Well,
that too. But I'm forget even getting to overtime.
Right.
I'm talking about with 35 seconds left.
Sure.
Right, think about the one touchdown in the fourth quarter. It's just a dump off,
right.
And it goes whatever 70-something yards for a touchdown.
And you also had a very angry Justin Tucker, because remember, he missed a rare extra point earlier in that game.
Yeah, he did.
So he could have made one from 65 yards. But then you get to the final play, and for those that didn't see the final play, the 2-point conversion, I'd like to let you listen to the way it was described by Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, and Terry McCauley, who is the rules expert, because this perfectly summarizes the controversy of the 2-point conversion that failed last night between the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yeah, it was clearly defensive holding before the pass was in flight.
Yeah.
That should have been called. And that does look like forcible contact to the head of the quarterback. That's roughing the passer and should have been called.
Too many games end this way. They just do.
Yep.
You miss calls, the whole thing. It's so frustrating to the fans. So frustrating.
Couple of things. Al Michaels, I know he gets a lot of crap for not being excited after touchdowns. That's why Al Michaels is great. Because Al Michaels told the truth in about 10 seconds to the entire audience, and hopefully the commissioner was listening. He represents all of us, which is, this happens too much. That 2-point conversion was riddled with penalties that you didn't call. And not only did Terry McCauley, who's basically there to defend the shield. You may not agree with me on that, Teague, but that's how I feel, that these rules experts there are there to tell you, they got it right. He not only told you the league got it wrong, Al summarized in a very succinct way what we all thought going to sleep last night. Too many times the officials decide these games, and I commend Al for telling it like it is.
I'm just looking at this again, the 2-point conversion. It looks like Joe Burrow took a left in a boxing match.
Yes.
The way his head turns and he's getting tackled, so that's why he goes down so quickly, but it looks like he just gets decked and goes to the ground. Now, that's forceful contact to the head. Even if you just lay your hand on a quarterback's head, you get called for that foul, and it doesn't get called. Now, I don't know who the back judge is in this game, but the defensive holding on the tight end, 81, it's obvious, and he's getting ready to throw the flag. So he turns, like he's eyeing him, and he turns to throw the flag, and then he doesn't.
Why doesn't he?
I have no idea.
I just
keep watching it back over and over. He turns to throw the flag, and then he does it.
So one thing that I think...
It's like he misses it.
Right.
And then he just says, all right, forget it. The ball's going the other way. It's not consequential.
What I want people to realize, because I know it's easy to jump to conspiracy theories, is if you watch the entirety of that last drive, there were a lot of penalties on that last drive,
yes.
And many of them were on Baltimore. So it's not as if there's a conspiracy against the Bengals or they're trying to help the Ravens. There's none of that. It's just purely incompetence It's just purely, for whatever reason, officials missing calls that we at home all obviously see, and they turn out to be so consequential they change a game. And it's frustrating, even though I was happy with the result, I admit, for as a Jet fan, I wanted the Bengals to lose. All of us didn't cover, by the way. And we told you this last night at about 6:15.
Right. Go the other way.
Yeah, go the other way. Hopefully you did. You would have won a couple of dollars. So selfishly, like, I'm happy that the Bengals lost. But it is mind-numbing as a football fan to see such obviousness missed. Yeah. And it's not a conspiracy. It's not that garbage. It's just incompetence. And the NFL needs, I'm begging them, they need to find a way to get better. I tell my sons this all the time. Just improve. Just get better. Just don't make the same mistakes over and over again. Don't get worse. I try to do the same thing as a professional. I may screw up. I may do a bad show. It may be my fault, Tiki, that our show sucked the other day. Not your fault, my fault. And I say, all right, Ev, don't make that same mistake again. Why does the NFL make the same mistake over and over and over again?
Well, it's not the same mistake. It's just the same situation.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know. Because what can they do about it?
I don't know.
I don't know how they grade these referees and umpires. I don't know how they grade them. I don't know, you know, if primetime games go to better crew. I don't know. I have no idea. But it is something that we constantly talk about. And that's not a good thing. When an official's decision or non-decision is more of the conversation, or at least a bigger part of the conversation than it should be, then you got a problem with the officials. Period.
I think the biggest issue is the officials unanimously, and this starts earlier in the year and tapers off, stop worrying about such ticky-tack stuff in quarters 1, 2, and 3, and stop worrying about hammering that home in September and October because you want to come out and, you know, teach right. everybody a lesson. Well, because I think you get fatigue and the league stresses to these refs as it goes on. Hey, sometimes you got to put the flags in the pockets. Our games are getting bottled down, all that. But if they weren't calling such ticky-tack stuff nonstop through all these games.
Well, on the last drive that Evan was talking about with the Ravens getting penalties after penalty, those were, like, obvious.
Well, that's just my point.
When you talk about a face mask, that's obvious.
Yes.
When you talk about a destroying of Joe Burrow roughing the passer, that's obvious. A guy jumps off sides, that's obvious. Like the ones that, it's so they call the obvious ones. And then on the last play, the 2-point conversion or penultimate play, they don't call a clearly obvious.
Well, that's penalty. The thing. It's also an obvious call.
I know.
And I don't know if it's not wanting to call something on a 2-point conversion. I don't know if there's an aversion to the diversion. An aversion to the conversion. Where you don't want. It's like not wanting to throw a flag on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Like officials don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But how you miss this, because I get it. Like, officiating isn't easy, but missing obvious calls week after week, it's unhealthy for the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not a good thing. I know that the old saying is no publicity is bad publicity, but I don't know, man. My fear is that if this continues year after year after year, I think it's going to hurt the league as a whole in general. Because even though I don't think there should be a distrust, people have a distrust.
Well, the fear is that people stop trusting the result. That's why you need the refereeing to be more consistent, because then people stop saying, oh yeah, this is a fair contest.
Right.
You start to think that there's something a foul. Now, we've been talking about that for probably a decade.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Like hasn't hurt interest in the league.
That's
yet.
What I mean.
Yes.
It hasn't, like, the lack of trust in the final product hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And so until it does and people start saying, yeah, it's fixed.
I will offer a solution on how to fix it coming up. Plus, Aaron Boone is back as New York Yankee manager. Are you guys pissed off about this? Plus, I'll make the case for another Yankee to return that you guys don't like. 888-808-1019, toll-free number. Evan and Tiki on this very busy Friday, Football Friday in New York City. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.